Hello, it's Father Jim. As we're getting near Easter, and Lent is a time of prayer and purification, I'm just thinking about those sort of things that just spoil us. On the whole, we're good, but we can only become better. We admit we're good. You can't jump from being bad straight to being better, because the word better is the comparative of the word good. We have to admit we're good first, and then we'll become better. And this was brought home to me when I went to one or two master classes. I was learning some piano concertos, and I remember I was going to play Beethoven's Emperor Piano Concerto, and I banged my fists down on the keyboard for the opening chord, and my teacher stopped me. "Stop," he said, "I can't hear the third note in the left hand. Try again." So I tried again. "Stop." Well, I was getting frustrated. He kept stopping me. And eventually he laughed. He said, "Look, Jim, you want to give me a concert, don't you? You'd like to play the whole piano concerto to give me such joy." I said, "I'd love to." He said, "In which case, I should be paying you. But you're paying me to take you from one level to another. And as we advance in perfection, the next stage gets more and more painful. For instance, people need master classes in the spiritual life. This doesn't mean the person giving the class is necessarily ahead of anyone else. I remember enjoying enormously Torvald and Dean, the great ice dancing champions. They had an enchanting teacher. Now, maybe she wasn't as good a skater as they were, otherwise she would have been as famous. But she could still take them from one level to another. And so, what I'm suggesting is that we're good, but occasionally something spoils it. You know, some little beastliness. And this poem called Snake by David Herbert Lawrence, D.H. Lawrence, has taught me a little bit about those little things that just spoil us. And perhaps we could have a little think, in a few remaining days of Lent, about those little things that just spoil the goodness God has placed in us. It's called Snake. A snake came to my water trough on a hot, hot day, and I in pajamas for the heat to drink there. In the deep, strange, scented shade of the great dark carob tree, I came down the steps with my pitcher, and I must wait, must stand and wait, for there he was at the water trough before me. He reached down from a fissure in the earth wall in the gloom and trailed his yellow-brown slackness soft-bellied down over the edge of the stone trough and rested his throat upon the stone bottom. And where the water dripped from the tap in a small clearness, he sipped. With his straight mouth softly drank through his straight gums into his slack, long body silently. Someone was before me at my water trough, and I, like a second comer, waiting. He lifted his head from his drinking as cattle do. He looked at me vaguely as drinking cattle do, and flickered his two-forked tongue from his lips and mused a moment, stooped and drank a little more, being earth-brown, earth-golden, from the burning bowels of the earth on the day of Sicilian July, with Etna smoking. The voice of my education said to me he must be killed, for in Sicily the black snakes are innocent, the gold are venomous. Voices in me said, if you were a man, you'd take a stick and break him down and finish him off. But must I confess how I liked him? How glad I was he'd come, like a guest in quiet, to drink at my water trough, and depart peaceful, pacified, and thankless into the burning bowels of the earth. Was it cowardice? I dared not kill him. Was it perversity that I longed to talk to him? Was it humility to feel so honoured? I felt so honoured. Yet those voices, if you were not afraid you'd kill him. Truly I was afraid. I was most afraid. But even so, honoured still more that he should seek my hospitality from out the dark door of the secret earth. He drank enough, and lifted his head dreamily as one who's drunken, and flickered his tongue like a forked knight on the air, so black, seeming to lick his lips, and looked round like a god unseeing into the air, and slowly turned his head, and slowly, very slowly, as if thrice a dream, proceeded to draw his slow length, curving round, and climb again the broken bank of my wall face. And as he put his head into that dreadful hole, and as he slowly drew up, snake easing his shoulders and entered further, a sort of horror, a sort of protest against his withdrawing into that horrid black hole, deliberately going into the blackness and slowly drawing himself after, overcame me. Now his back was turned. I looked round, put down my pitcher, I picked up a clumsy log and threw it at the water trough with a clatter. I think it didn't hit him, but suddenly that part of him that was left behind convulsed in undignified haste, wreathed like lightning, and was gone into the black hole, the earth-lipped fissure in the wall front, to which in the intense still noon I stared with fascination. And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices, my cursed human education. And I thought of the albatross. And I wish he'd come back, my snake. For he seemed to me again like a king. Like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld, now due to be crowned again. And so, I missed my chance with one of the lords of life. And I have something to expiate. A pettiness. Amen.